Begin the current daven itself. Sivam is daf kuf te zayin. Begin four lines down from the top of the amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, there's a machlekes Abaye and Rava regarding if, let's say, there was a report that a certain Yitzchak had passed away, or there was a get found with a certain name on it. Question was, is do we have to assume or suspect or speculate that maybe there's someone else that had the same exact name, although this is definitely an identifying feature of this Yitzchak who lived in that place and we heard that he died. Or we found a get and the woman says, this is my get. Look, it says my name, it says my husband's name. It's obviously my get. And we don't know of another person with that name. The machlekes was, do we have to suspect that maybe there is someone with that name? And first you have to go investigate and verify that there is not. Question is, in the default, of course, if you know that there is another person with that name, you obviously cannot assume that it's that person that died or that it's this woman's get. Question is, if you don't know otherwise, do you have to suspect or not? That was a machlekes Abaye and Rava. Now, that the Gemara continues, however, interestingly, that with another incident, that the machlekes, they'll have opposite opinions. As the Gemara says, there was Hahu Gita Dishtakech Besura. There was a certain get that was found in the city of Sura. In the get, the divorce document, it said the following words. It says, Besura Masa, in the city of Sura, Ano, me, Anon Barchia, Nehardo, Anon Barchia from Nehardo, Patris, Besarchis, Poloinis, Antosi, I'm releasing and letting go my wife, this woman. Ubadkurab, so that's what it said in the get. And this was found. Now, Ubadkurabana, Misura Benado. Now, the rabbis checked, they went to see if there's someone, another person with this name of Anon Barchia, because there was a woman that was claiming it was her get. They checked from Sur to Narda, because Sur is where it was written, Narda was where he said he lived. There was no other Anon Barchia besides this woman's husband who was claiming it's her get. Lavar, besides, there was one other person. There was another Anon Barchia who really was from Chagra, but didn't have been Narda. Now he was currently living in Narda. So he had the same name and he was in Narda too. But v'asu sahadi v'amar, but witnesses came and testified and said, Tahu yoyma ki ichta v'ahu gita, that day when this get was written, because they see the date on the get, Anon Barchia Mechagra, that other Anon Barchia, who was originally from Chagra, who's in Narda now, Kabban Hava, he was with us in Narda. And the get was written in Surah. So therefore, obviously, it's not that Anon Barchia, because he wasn't there in Surah. And obviously, this woman is correct that it's her get, and it was her husband. So on that, the Gemara says the following machlokes. Amar Abaye, he says, Af ledidi damin chashin, and even me, that I said in the previous daf regarding the previous machlokes, if we have to suspect if there's two Yitzchaks, and he says, yes, you have to suspect. You cannot assume, even though we don't know of any other person with the same name, maybe there is another person with the same name from the same town, and you would have to go ahead and check. But he says, but hachol lechashin, and here we wouldn't be concerned because, first of all, they checked the whole Narda, and they didn't find another person with that same name. Now, although there is another Anon that they did find, but there's no reason to suspect that it's him, because the Kamri Sahadi, because the witnesses testified, Dib Narda Hava, he was Narda. So my boy Basur, what was he doing in Surah? Obviously, it's not him, because the get was written in Surah, and he wasn't there at that time. Now, moreover, as Rashi points out, which was Rava's tying the Tabai in the previous stuff, Abaye obviously is not concerned that, oh, okay, so you checked Narda, but what do you mean? Maybe the person was in Narda who left somewhere else and you have to check the whole world. No, Abaye says, no, you check Narda, where the person who wrote this get in Surah was from. You didn't find any other Anon. And that same person who is an Anon, who is Narda, couldn't have been the one that wrote it because he wasn't there in Surah at that time. So therefore here, Abaye says, I would agree that you would not have to suspect and wouldn't have to check anymore, and you can give it to this woman. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says the exact opposite. He says, even though my opinion on the previous stuff was brought that, I don't usually suspect that maybe it's another person. We don't know of any other person with this same exact name from that place. So you give it to them, and you don't have to say that maybe there is. But here you would have to be concerned. And the reason is, because actually maybe it is that Anon from Chagra who's Narda now. Now the reason is, why would there be such a concern? The witnesses says he wasn't there. He was here. So because there's one of three options how it could be him. First of all, Dilma Bagamla Parcha Azel. Maybe he went, literally it means a flying camel, But what that means to say is that maybe he got there quickly. He had some quick way of transportation. Now, inami bekvitza. Maybe he jumped, which Rashi says, through a divine name. But again, another way how it could have been in Surah and Narda in the same day. So although they swam Narda, maybe he was in Surah. Or inami mili masr. Or even in the more practical, technical type of a way, maybe he gave over his word. And that is, although he wasn't with the judges, the dayanim, the witnesses, when they went and wrote the get to his wife in Surah, maybe it was in his city that he went and made up that they should write a get to his wife. And then the witnesses went to Surah, and there they wrote up the get. As the Gemara says, "Kud amaluhu Rav Lasafri," like Rav would tell the scribes, "V'chein amaluhu Rav Huna Lasafri," so the Rav Huna would tell the scribes, "Ki isnuchu b'shili," when you're in Shili, "k'suv b'shili," write in Shili. Although the one that told you to write the get, or told you in a different place, and he's in a different place, but you write where you are when you're writing it. And therefore, afagav de mimser in mili b'hini, even though the words were given over to you in Hini, you write Shili. And so too in the other way, when you're in Hini, k'suv b'hini, write in Hini, afagav de mimser in mili b'shili, although you were given over this job in Shili, you write where it's written. And therefore, Rabbi says, here I would agree that definitely you would have to be concerned. And the reason is because since we have another person that has the same name and the same city, so you definitely have to suspect that maybe it's that person. Now, although witnesses said, what do you mean, he wasn't there? Again, we have three different options that it could be, that although he was with them in Arda, that the get that he was writing was the one that was written by him, again, through his agents, which they wrote in a different place, and they write in the place where they wrote it. Now, the Gemara returns to a discussion that was on the previous daf regarding Machlikas Rav Chisda and Rava, which was regarding Shumshimin, when a person deposited a certain amount of sesame seeds by his friend, comes back, he says, "Give me back my sesame seeds." And the guy says, "What do you mean? I gave it back to you." He says, "What do you mean? Look at that jar. I give you 1,001 sesame seeds counted. You'll see this, that amount." The guy says, "You're right. But your 1,001 sesame seeds I gave you back, and these are mine." So the Machlikas Rav Chisda and Rava, if he's believed or not. So the Gemara says, "My hava alai d'shum shemi." We didn't pass in the halacha. What was the conclusion regarding this discussion about the sesame seeds, which, as Rashi defines the question, because there was a few components, are we concerned that maybe it was unloaded? In other words, although we knew up until now that the depositor's sesame seeds with that amount was in that jug, but maybe it was cleared out. Maybe it was given back. And although there's the same item there with the same quantity, it could be it's the homeowner's, and therefore he wouldn't have to give it back. So that the Gemara says, Rav Yehima Amar Lo Yichashin. Rav Yehima says that, no, we're not concerned for that. If something was as it is there as it was before, so we assume it was what it was, and therefore this homeowner would have to give it back, and we would assume that it is that same deposit. And because we're not concerned that it was cleared out, Rav Yehima Chashin says no, that we do have such a suspicion. We could suspect that. And therefore, it could be was cleared out, and therefore the guy doesn't have to give it because it's his own thing. And the Halacha Chashin Halacha is like that, that the guy, the homeowner, doesn't have to give it back, because we could say that although it's exactly the amount that you put in, we're saying that maybe it's a different one because things tend to, there is a turnover, and things get cleared out and other things are put in. And although you got the same exact amount, it's different, as the Gemara had said in the previous daf, than when you give identifying features that are intrinsic to the object. Here, quantity is not intrinsically a defining feature of the sesame seeds. Sesame seeds is the same sesame seeds. And could be, it just happens to be the same amount as that he had deposited. Now, the Gemara continues explaining our previous Mishnah that said, "Kitata beinoy lebeina." If, let's say, one of the two variables that are necessary for the woman to be believed that went overseas with her husband and she comes back and says that he's dead was missing, which is, although that there's peace in the world, so we're not suspecting that what's called bedadami, that she's conjecturing and saying, oh, he died, even though she didn't for sure see that he died, there's peace in the world. But there's this marital discord, they had a fight. So then she's not believed. The Gemara asks, "Hei chadami katata beinoy lebeino," what is the qualifying feature? What does that mean? There's many people that quarrel. What does it mean that will qualify to say that it's a katata, to say that now she's not believed, to say that he's dead? Some of you, the Mishmuel, he says, it's b'meris labala gershani, when she tells her husband, divorce me, that's it. Tasa Kumara wonders, kulunami amruhachi, they all say this. all of them, the women, when they get upset, when they get angry, they say, divorce me. So that's identifying feature of a woman that's not believed regarding her husband because she said that. That's not katata. So El Rad, the Gemara says, by meris labala, rather it's when a woman says to her husband, gerashtani, you divorced me. We're not even married. You already divorced me. That's what it means that obviously such a high level fight because she even tried claiming to her husband that they're not even married anymore. Now the Gemara wonders if that's the case, then Balahamna, Midravamnuna, then actually she should be believed that she's divorced and she doesn't have to get remarried based on that he's dead because she's actually divorced. Because as the Gemara says, Amar Avramnuna, he says, Isha Sha'amula Bala Girashtani Nemenis. If a woman says to her husband, you divorced me, she's believed. And the reason is because Chazaka, there's a presumption that Ein Isha Me'iza Paneh B'fnei Bala, a woman would not be so audacious to say to her husband, to his face, to say that we're divorced, you divorced me already. And if she's saying it, she's believed. So if that's the case, so, and that's what she had said to her husband, that's why you see there was a katata, so forget about requiring that to believe her if he's dead or not, she's anyways not married to him because she's divorced. So the Gemara says, no, it's talking about, yes, by Meres Gerashtani, she says that she told him that you divorced me, but she said you divorced me b'fnei pleni pleni. Go ask these two people. They saw you divorced me. Now, Vishilna, we went and we asked those two people, v'amru l'hoye dvar me'olam. They said what's known as lahadam. Never happened. They said, we never saw such a thing. Now, so obviously, she wouldn't be believed in that case that she's divorced. So, because the witnesses that she's claiming was in front of said it never happened. So she's not divorced, but that still qualifies for katata because obviously they're in such a big fight that she's being so audacious to her husband and saying, you divorced me. So therefore, she's still married because she's not divorced, but she's trying to get out of the marriage by saying that he's dead. In such a case, that's a katata where she wouldn't be believed to say that he died. But now the Gemara asks, regarding this whole concept of the Mishnah, my time of the katata, what is the reasoning for this idea? That the Mishnah says, if she says my husband died, she's not believed if she was in a state of katata of this fight, what's the reason? Why is that making her nemanis, her belief system, deficient? So Rav Chanina, he says, Mishum de Mishaka, because she's going to lie. In other words, she hates him so much, she's purposefully going to try to find a way out of the marriage. How is she going to do that? She'll say that he's dead. They'll let her remarry. She'll marry someone else. And then he comes back a few days later. He's not dead. He just had a layover. And he comes, oh, but your wife already had an adulterous affair with another man. So then you're forbidden to her. Oh, that's what she wants. She's purposely going to lie because she doesn't want to stay married to him. And that's how she'll get out of the marriage. Remember, Ashi, I mean, he says different. He says, Mishum de Amra Bididami. Because the fact that she has a fight with him, that's going to actually contribute to like the other variable of when there's Muhammad Ba'ilam, where although here there's Shalom Ba'ilam, she's going to conjecture, meaning any dangerous situation that he's in, she's not going to think that maybe he didn't die, maybe I shouldn't get married. And the reason is because since she hates him, and this is more sublime, this is more not as overt, so, but she's not going to be that careful. She's not going to be so precise because she doesn't like him that much. She's not going to lie, but she's going to conjecture. She's going to speculate and say, "Oh, he's probably dead," and therefore she's going to end up not saying the truth, and that's why we don't believe her. So the Gemara might be that. What's the difference between the two of them? It seems like they're basically the same idea, in the sense of that when there's a fight, so she's not believed because either she'll lie right out, or even if she doesn't intend to lie, but she doesn't like him, and therefore, to herself, she'll be lying. She's not going to be so honest. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, as we continue on Tamid Beis, it could be Naya. The difference is the Argal Hu Katata, when he started the fight. As Taisa explains, because according to the first opinion that says because she's going to lie. So in this case, when he started the fight, she's afraid to go ahead and lie straight out because she actually still likes him. Because She only lies straight out when she really hates him. She'll do whatever it takes to get out of the marriage. Here he started the fight and he was creating problems for her, but she still likes him. She's not going to lie. But according to the Man D'Amar, Taisa says that holds by the dummy. So then even a small fight, there's still something maybe that she's not aware of, but that bothers her. And therefore, she's not going to be as precise in her analysis to find out if he's dead or not. And therefore, according to that Man D'Amar, we would have to be concerned, and therefore that's the difference between these two Mando Amrim, if it's Dilma Mishakra or because, but the dummy, depending on if she's conscious or not of what she's saying or not, meaning when he starts to fight, then she doesn't really hate him straight up, but there's still that little hatred, and therefore that's the difference if that will be concerned for. Mishakra would not be concerned, but B'dami, we would be concerned. Now the Gemara continues on this topic, Ibalu, that the following question. Eid Echad B'Ktata. So we said when there's a Ktata between him and her, she's not believed herself. But let's say there's one witness that comes, let's say her husband went overseas, at a time when they had a Ktata between each other. Now, the one witness comes and says, your husband's dead. So the question is, Ma, what's the halacha? Would he be believed in that case? And this is a question we've had in different formats before. But the Gemara asks and defines this question. And that is, my time of day, what's the reason that we generally believe, as we learn in the Isha Rabbah, that when one witness comes and says, your husband died, he's believed. Is it because Mishum Demilsa David Leglui Lemeshaker, that he's not going to lie about a fact that could be easily revealed and ultimately will be revealed? We'll find out if the husband's dead or not if he comes back a week later. So therefore, he's not going to lie, and that's why we believe even one witness. So here too, notwithstanding that there's a fight between the husband and wife, he's not going to lie because, again, there's something that ultimately will be revealed. Idilmo, maybe, time of day, maybe the reason ultimately, the real reason why we believe the one witness is Mishum Dihi Daikum Insava, not really primarily the one witness. That's just necessary to get it rolling, but it's because then the woman will then analyze and check into this and investigate, and she'll find out the stark facts that he actually is dead, and then she'll get married. Now, but Vahacha, but over here, Kivan de Isli Katataloi Daikum Insava, but here since there's this fight, she's not going to be so precise because anyway, there's something bothering her about it, and she'll say, oh, he's dead, you're right, he's dead, and she'll get married, and we have to be concerned that maybe that's not really the reality because she's not checking it as well. I think Marcel says, take a let it stand. It's not clear what's the primary component of believing the one witness. Is it him, and therefore we should believe, or is it her, and therefore we shouldn't believe? Now, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he said, qualifying this halacha of when we believe a woman who went overseas with her husband to say that he's dead, or in any situation, he said, La'olam eina v'chulu, she's really never believed this woman to say her husband's dead, unless she comes in crying and her clothing is torn and she's sobbing and she says, my husband's dead, then we'll believe her. Tanya, we learn the Braisa, the Amalei Yehuda, the Chacham said back to Rabbi Yehuda as they argue in our Mishnah, they said, L'dverecha, according to your opinion, Pekachas Tinase, a woman that's fully competent, that realizes the loss that she got by her husband dying. So she's going to come in crying and her clothing torn, and so she could get married, but Shaitaloi Tinase, but a woman that is not fully mentally competent, so because she doesn't know to be aware to cry and to tear her clothing, she's not going to be able to get married. Why should that affect the belief system of the woman? Yes, we understand the emotional component that you're saying about if a woman comes in crying, then we could believe her. But if not, this cold callousness, there's reason for us to be suspicious. But why should that be the identifying feature when you have a woman like a Shaita who, because she doesn't have that emotional component of not being fully mentally competent, is not going to be able to get married? Ella, rather, achazu of achazu tinasi is not true. A woman is believed, whether she's showing that type of emotion or not, she can go ahead and get married if she says her husband died. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings the Ahida Asile Beidin Rabbi Yehuda. There was this woman that came to the courtroom of Rabbi Yehuda. And Amri La, the other rabbi, said to the woman, look, Safti Balecha, mourn over your husband, Kiri Manech, tear your clothing, Sisi Mazich, dishevel ye here. Because Rabbi Yehuda, he holds, only if you come like that, then we say, okay, you look like you're saying the truth. But if not, he's not going to believe you. So do all these different things. So the Gemara wonders, Alfur Shikra, what are the rabbis were teaching her to lie? In other words, if this is they're coming to the Bezdin of Rabbi Yehuda, they hold that she's not believed only if she's crying, why would they teach her to do that if that's defeating the whole purpose? So the Gemara says, no, Inu Karabban is filu. Those are the rabbis held like the Rabban who argued Rabbi Yehuda. And Amri Tavid Hachi, they told her to do this, that he should, Rabbi Yehuda should go ahead and permit her because they held that that's not a necessary component, and therefore they held that she should be able to, and therefore they taught her, okay, you want to be able to win in court, go ahead and do these things, and then he'll let you remarry based on your testimony. Now, regarding this previous halacha of the previous Mishnah, regarding that a woman's belief to say that her husband died, so the Mishnah brings a machlokes regarding what's the qualification of that halacha. Beisil Aymrim, they said, Lo Shemana, we didn't hear about this halacha that a woman should be believed to say her husband died. Only if she's coming from the wheat harvest, in that same town, Ukamaestra, like the actual incident happened, as the Gemara will bring the story, that the Chachamim only permitted it exactly as that story was, where that was talking about that it's close to us, and therefore a woman would be afraid to lie and make up the story because we could go ahead and check if this is actually what happened. Whereas if it's overseas, then we actually don't believe her. Now, Amulah Mesham, Mesham is the Basil, no. Achas Habam and Akasir, whether it's actually from the wheat harvest, or Achas Habam and Amazesim, where the woman's coming from the olive harvest, or Achas Habam and Abatzar, where the woman's coming from the grape harvest, Achas Habam and Medil Nandino, whether it's from one country to another country, this that the sages said that it was from a wheat harvest was only because of the story that happened. And that's just something that happened. So we use that as an example, but the truth really, it applies to all places, meaning in all types of elements, environments, and moreover, it doesn't have to be just here. It could be anywhere that she's coming from and saying this story. And the Mishnah tells us, ultimately, Beis Hillel retracted from their opinion. They said the halacha is like Beis Shammai, that it doesn't make a difference where was the woman's going to be leave to say that her husband died. Now, I'm learning the Braisa that elaborates on this. And Amar Lem Bisham Beis Hillel said to Beis Hillel, Lidavrechem, according to your opinion that you say that you have to be exactly like the story happened, which again the Gemara will bring what was the story that created this halacha, but that it has to be exactly as the story was, well then, I would only know as the story was regarding when she's coming from a wheat harvest and that the husband had died. But Ketzir Sa'ir Minayin, where would you know if it's a barley harvest? And Ve'Ein Le'Ela Kaisa, and similarly, I would only know it from a grain harvest. But Beitzer, when it's gathering of the grapes, or Maisik, or of the olives, or Geider, which is of the dates, or Eider, when they gather the figs, Minayin, how would you know all those other types of elements? I mean, it has to be exactly the way you're saying. Ela Maisir Shaya Bekatsa, no, the story that happened was with the wheat harvest. But V'Hadin L'Kula Trutli would apply to all harvests. And therefore, Hachinami, so Beis Shammai takes it one step further. And that is, same thing will apply to proximity, to being overseas. And that is, Maisa Zahoye Beis Medina. The story that happened just happened to be, it was in the same town. But V'Hadin L'Kula Trutli applies to all places, no matter if she's coming from overseas. Just like we're saying, it doesn't make a difference what type of a harvest. Therefore, they'd be believed in all cases. Now, Beis Hillel, they say no. Beis Medina, yes, maybe regarding the particularities of what type of a harvest, that maybe wouldn't make such a big difference. But regarding this, it makes a difference because Ba'is Medina, in that same country, that same town, this Shchichi Inchi, where there are people that are right there. So Mirtas, the woman's afraid to go ahead and make such an outright lie because they can go and walk over and find out. But Medina, Medina Acheres, but from one place to another place, to Shchichi Inchi, where people don't know what's going on in other towns. Like Mirtas, she's not so afraid. And therefore, maybe there we should suspect that she's not telling the truth and not to believe her. Now, Beis Shammai, they say no. Here also, even if it's a different Medina, but there are caravans going back and forth, and therefore she wouldn't go ahead and lie. We believe her in all situations. Now, the Gemara says, "My Meister, what was this story that we're talking about in the Mishnah? Does it have to be exactly like that story was to believe the woman? Or, as Beis Shammai said, in all situations?" So the story was, the Amar Rehuda Mishmul, like Rehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Shilfei Ketzir Chitin Hayu, was at the end of the wheat harvest. V'holcha Asar Ben Adam Lik Tzir Chitin, and 10 men had gone to reap, to cut down the wheat stalks. Now, Nashchu Nachash La'achem En Amesu, one of the men was bitten by a snake and he died. Now, Vos Ishtai V'hoidiyah LeBezdin, now the wife came and notified this to Bezdin. V'sholchu Matzah Kedbren, they sent and they verified, and it was exactly like she said. So Ba'is HaShomer, at that moment they said, and obviously that there was a shift in the way they viewed the nemanis of a woman at that time, based on the way they verified the story, that they said, Ha'is HaShomer meis ba'li tenasi, that a woman says, my husband died, she can go ahead and get married. Moreover, meis ba'li tisyabim, if my husband died without any children, she can go ahead and do yim. Now again, that was the machlekes. Did they say it only if it's exactly like that story was, because we verified that there's an element of truth in these type of stories, as we find in the inverse, as the Gemara will shortly bring when we make a gezerah to make things forbidden? Or it was, as Beis Shammai said, which Beis Hillel ended up retracting, to say that no, the concept was there. The concept is a woman's belief, and therefore it's in all circumstances. Now, the Gemara says, Neimar Reb Chananya ben Akiva of Rabbanan. Let's say that, as we're going to quote, Machlekes Reb Chananya ben Akiva, and of the Rabbanan, seemingly it's the same beplukt the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. It seems like they're arguing in the same achlekes the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel argue in our Mishnah. The Tanakh, like, learn the Brisa. Brisa says, "Layisa adam mechatas ve'efrachatas." A person should not carry the two elements that go into the purification waters of the from the burnt paraduma, which is used to purify someone that became tummy from a tummy's mess, which are the purifying waters. And the ashes, and they're mixed, and they're thrown on the person. So a person should not carry either one of these two elements. The avirim biyardin besvina, and to transport them over the Jordan River, and by boat. Now the reason is, as shortly we'll explain, is based on this story that happened by the Jordan River with a boat, which then these purification waters became tamei, and therefore a person should not cross over the Jordan on a boat with these purification waters, but actually it's more than that. A person should not stand on one side of the river and throw it to the other side of the river, because this is essentially similar to a boat, because that's what a boat does. A boat, on some level, floats. It's actually flying on water, because it's not on the ground. It's not grounded. So there's being carried in the air and it's being carried in the water, but it's not touching the ground, so essentially it's the same thing as a boat. So you shouldn't either throw it over the river, and you shouldn't float it over the river, because again, that's essentially the same element, the same conceptualization as what a boat is. And neither should you ride with them, over on an animal, and not on top of your friend through the water, because again, conceptually, that's the same as a boat. Because what happens on the boat is that the person that's carrying them stays stationary, but the boat takes him through the water, and even a boat, sometimes it touches the ground and it moves further. So that's the same as going over the animal with the animal or the friend, where you're staying in one place with the waters. Conceptually, fits into the gzera of being in a body of water like the Jordan River was, and with a boat, because that's conceptually the same. Elam kein hoyu raglav, unless when he's riding on top of his friend, meaning his friend's giving him a ride through the water or on the animal, unless the one that's getting the ride, who's holding the purification waters, if his legs are noigis bakarka, his legs are touching the ground, then it's like walking, and walking was never included in this gezeira, because it was only someone that, again, was conceptually the same as the yarden, which is a body of water, and with the svina, which means to say that you're stationary, not touching the ground, and something else is taking you through that. Ava mavir malagesha, but you could transport them by going over water if it's on a bridge, because a bridge is like ground, and the one who's carrying it, his legs are continuously touching the ground, which is again not similarly conceptually to a boat, which is you're never touching the ground and you're staying in one place and the boat's taking you. Now on that, the Tanna Kamma ends, the Rabbanan end, the Echad Yardim Echad Shanaharas, again, that's both, whether it's the Jordan River or any other river, conceptually it's what the concept is, which is that it's a body of water, and there's an element that's taking you through the water. Now, Reb Chananya ben Akiva, he said, no. Lo emr ele yarden besvina, the gezeira that said it's forbidden to transport these purification waters was only the Jordan River, and with a boat. Ukamayishchaya, like the exact story was, which caused us to make this gezeira. Now, the Gemara says, leimer rabbanon de amr kibishame, let's say the rabbanon who are saying that it's in all similar types of conceptualization, not exactly as it happened, that they're saying like Bishamai, who also said the same idea in our Mishnah, where we believe the woman in all situations, because conceptually the idea is we believe a woman. But Reb Chananya ben Akiva, the Amar Kabbeis Hillel, they're saying like Beis Hillel, that no, it actually has to be Kamais Hashaya. And that the Gemara says no. Each one could say that they're like the other opinion. Amalucha Rabban would tell you, Ananda Minan Afilika Beisamai. We're even like Beis Hillel. Now, Ad Kanlukama Beis Hillel Hasam, we did Beis Hillel say over there that in our Mishnah, that it has to be exactly as it was for a woman to be believed, that it has to be by the wheat harvest and in that Medina. That's Elam Shem Demirtas. It's only because we require for an element for the woman to be believed some element of fear that there's some type of, that there's going to be some liability for what she's saying, that there's a responsibility. Now, but Malkum Kar of Mirtas, it has to be exactly Kamaisa Shahaya, which means say Ba'isa Medina, because that is the conceptualization. You're right. I hold of that this conceptualization that it doesn't have to be exactly as it was. But when Beis Hillel say in our Mishnah is like a Ma'aseh Shaliyah, is because the Ma'aseh Shaliyah is the limit of the conceptualization, because it's only in a nearby place, because then she's afraid. In a distant place, she's not afraid. Now, hacha, but regarding my case that I'm talking about, why would it have to be exactly as it is? Conceptually, there's no difference for this gezeira of if it's the Jordan River or any other river. Now, similarly, Reb Chanan ben Akiva, he would tell you, me, although I say it has to be exactly as it is for this story, I actually could be even like Beis Shammai, who are in our Mishnah, they say that, no, it doesn't have to be exact like the story. Wherever a woman's coming from, she could say her husband died. Because, adkan l'kamri Beis Shammai hasam, until where did we find Beis Shammai who says it's in all situations? That's el mishum de'ihi daika mincevah. That's because, as we said, the primary component of a woman being believed is because she knows the penalties that will be levied against her if she marries someone else and her husband's still alive. And therefore, she's going to be precise, and that's why we believe her no matter where she's coming from. And therefore, mali makom karv, mali makom rachik. Conceptually, I disagree with the way that the previous man, the Amar, is defining what's the component of the halacha that has to be a karev or rachik regarding mirtas. No, there's no difference because a woman will investigate and make sure she's saying the truth. But hacha, regarding my machlik, is mishum maisa shahaya. The whole thing was a gezeira based on a certain incident that happened. Now, obviously, people could transport purification waters because you have to. But it's only because of a certain incident that happened. So, b'yardin b'svina d'ava maisa goes rabbanan. In that same situation, which that gives us reason to be alarmed that something bad could happen. So, in that exact instance that happened, so that's what the rabbanan make exera. But b'shan naharis l'ava maisa goes rabbanan. But in the other rivers where no such incident ever happened, the rabbanan did not institute their decree, their concern, and therefore it's not going to apply in my case because, again, that's different. There, the conceptualization is a woman will investigate, and therefore you believe her everywhere. But here, they're not going to say you can't transport purification waters anymore. So rather, it's because of something that happened. So on that road, on that river, they made the gezera, but not in other rivers. So the Gemara says, my message, what was the story over here that made, like the other way around? There was, in our Mishnah, was a heter. Something permission that once we saw that we could believe, so we believe. Question is, Maestro, in all situations, here was a gezeira that you can transport purification waters over water. Question was, is it only as it was or in all similar type of situations? What was the story that started this? The Mevhuda Marath says, Maestro Ba'adim, there was an incident where the person, he was transporting purification waters and the purification ashes on the Jordan River on a boat. Now, it was found to be that there was an olive-sized piece of a corpse that was tachav bekarkos shalsvina that was lodged in the body of the boat. Now, the person who was carrying the vessel that was holding the purification waters and ashes, he went and he carried it over because he was walking the boat, which passed over the airspace, which is what's called tumas oihil, that you're being a tent over a corpse, which makes it tame, and therefore it became invalidated. So, at that moment they said, a person should not be carrying purification waters and purification ashes and transport it over the Jordan with a boat, because as we see, which is obviously creating some type of precautionary measures because we want to be careful regarding the tahara process of the purification waters. Now, the question is, did we only extend it for that exact same type of circumstances? And that's enough for their gezeira, or it's all similar types, which are conceptually the same, which are for bodies of water, and something like a boat, which is taking you, whereas when the person's walking, they'll be more careful, and if it's not water, you can see. But either way, that's the machlokes, but ultimately the Gemara said it doesn't necessarily have to be the same as our Mishnah, because each one could say that there's a differentiation between the case of our Mishnah, which is talking about a woman being believed that her husband died, whether it's exactly as the Maaseh Shehayu, which made the institution of it being permitted, to the same as this story of the Efer Chatas, which created a Gzeir Drabanan of it being Aser.